I haven't heard that song since I was a child.
Savardin blinked, not understanding. If she had, she likely would have smiled. A Rodchai could live nearly 200 years. This inspector adjunct, probably a legal adult for a decade, was still impossibly young.
I used to know someone else who sang all the time, the adjunct continued.
I knew her, had probably bought songs from her. She would have been maybe 4, maybe 5 when I'd left Oars. Maybe slightly older if she remembered me with any clarity. The inspector supervisor behind that door would be someone who had spent time on Shiserna, in Oars itself, most likely. What did I know about the lieutenant who had replaced Lieutenant On as administrator there? How likely was it she'd resigned her military assignment and taken one as a dock inspector? It wasn't unheard of. Whoever the inspector supervisor was, she had money and influence enough to bring this adjunct here from Oars. I wanted to ask the young woman the name of her patron, but that would be unthinkably rude. I'm told, I said, meaning to sound idly curious and playing up my Jaren Tate accent just the smallest bit, that the jewelry you Rodchai wear has some sort of significance. Savardin cast me a puzzled look. The adjunct only smiled.
Some of it.
Her Orsian accent, now I had identified it, was clear, obvious.
This one, for instance.
She slid one gloved finger under a gold-colored dangle pinned near her left shoulder.
It's a memorial.
May I look closer? I asked, and receiving permission moved my chair near and bent to read the name engraved in Rodchai on the plain metal, one I didn't recognize. It wasn't likely a memorial for an Orsian. I couldn't imagine anyone in the lower city adopting Rodchai funeral practices, or at least not anyone old enough to have died since I'd seen them last. Near the memorial on her collar sat a small flower pin, each petal enameled with a symbol of an emanation, a date engraved in the flower's center. This assured young woman had been the tiny, frightened flower-bearer when Anander Mianai had acted as priest in Lieutenant On's house 20 years ago. No coincidences, not for Rodchai. I was quite sure now that when we were admitted to the inspector supervisor's presence, I would meet Lieutenant On's replacement in Oars. This inspector adjunct was, perhaps, a client of hers.
They make them for funerals, the adjunct was saying, still talking about memorial pins. Family and close friends wear them.
And you could tell by the style and expense of the piece just where in Rodchai society the dead person stood, and by implication, where the wearer stood. But the adjunct, her name I knew, was Douse Kate, didn't mention that. I wondered then what Savardin would make, had made, of changes in fashion since Garsed. The way such signals had changed, or not. People still wore inherited tokens and memorials, testimony to the social connections and values of their ancestors' generations back. And mostly that was the same, except generations back was Garsed. Some tokens that had been insignificant then were prized now, and some that had been priceless were now meaningless. And the color and gemstone significances in vogue for the last 100 or so years wouldn't read at all for Savardin. Inspector Adjunct Kate had 3 close friends, all 3 of whom had incomes and positions similar to hers, to judge from the gifts they'd exchanged with her. 2 lovers, intimate enough to exchange tokens with, but not sufficiently so to be considered very serious. No strands of jewels, no bracelets, though of course if she did any work actually inspecting cargo or ship systems, such things might have been in her way, and no rings over her gloves. And there, on the other shoulder, where now I could see it plainly and look straight at it without being excessively impolite, was the token I had been looking for. I had mistaken it for something less impressive, had, on first glance, taken the platinum for silver and its dependent pearl for glass, the sign of a gift from a sibling, current fashions misleading me. This was nothing cheap, nothing casual, but it wasn't a token of clientage, though the metal and the pearl suggested a particular house association. An association with a house old enough that Savardin could have recognized it immediately, possibly had. Inspector Adjunct Kate stood.
"The inspector supervisor is available now," she said. "I do apologize for your wait."
She opened the inner door and gestured us through. In the innermost office, standing to meet us, 20 years older and a bit heavier than when I'd last seen her, was the giver of that pin. Lieutenant? No. Inspector Supervisor Skyot Auer. Chapter 18. It was impossible that Lieutenant Skyot would recognize me. She bowed, oblivious to the fact that I knew her. It was strange to see her in dark blue, and so much more sober, more grave than when I'd known her in Oars. An inspector supervisor in a station as busy as this likely never set foot on the ships her subordinates inspected. But Inspector Supervisor Skyot wore almost as little jewelry as her assistant. A long strand of green and blue jewels coiled from shoulder to opposite hip, and a red stone dangled from one ear, but otherwise a similar, though clearly more expensive, scattering of friends, lovers, dead relatives decorated her uniform jacket. One plain gold token hung on the cuff of her right sleeve, just next to the edge of the glove. The placement, that of something she intended to be reminded of, as much for herself to see as anyone else. It looked cheap, machine-made. Not the sort of thing she would wear. She bowed.
"Citizen Savardin, honored Breck, please sit, will you have some tea?"
Still effortlessly elegant even after 20 years. "Your assistant already offered us tea, thank you, Inspector Supervisor," I said. Inspector Supervisor Skyot looked momentarily at me, and then at Savardin, slightly surprised, I thought. She had been addressing Savardin primarily, thinking of Savardin as the principal person between the two of us. I sat. Savardin hesitated a moment, and then sat in the seat beside me, arms still crossed to hide her bare hands.
"I wanted to meet you myself, citizen," Inspector Supervisor Skyot said, when she'd taken her own seat. "Privilege of office. It isn't every day you meet someone 1,000 years old."
Savardin smiled, small and tight.
"Indeed not," she agreed. "And I felt it would be improper for security to arrest you on the dock, though..."
Inspector Supervisor Skyot gestured placatory, the pin on her cuff flashing once as she did.
"You are in some legal difficulty, citizen."
Savardin relaxed just slightly, shoulders lowering, jaw loosening. Barely detectable unless you knew her. Skyot's accent and mildly deferential tone were having an effect.
"I am," Savardin acknowledged. "I intend to appeal." "There's some question about the matter, then."
Stilted, formal. A query that wasn't a query, but no answer came.
"I can take you to the palace offices myself and avoid any entanglement with security."
Of course she could. She'd worked this out with security's chief already.
"I'd be grateful."
Savardin sounded more like her old self than I'd heard her in the last year.
"Would it be worth asking you to assist me contacting Gare's lord?"
Gare might conceivably have some responsibility for this last member of the house it had taken over. Hated Gare, which had absorbed its enemy, Vendai, Savardin's house. Vendai's relations with Auer hadn't been any better than with Gare, but I supposed the request was a measure of just how desperate and alone Savardin was.
Ah.
Inspector Supervisor Skyot winced just slightly.
Auer and Gare aren't as close as they used to be, citizen. About 200 years ago, there was an exchange of heirs. The Gare cousin killed herself.
The verb Inspector Supervisor Skyot used implied that it hadn't been an approved, medical-mediated suicide, but something illicit and messy.
And the Auer cousin went mad and ran off to join some cult somewhere.
Savardin made a breathy, amused noise.
Typical.
Inspector Supervisor Skyot raised an eyebrow, but only said, temperately,
It left some bad feeling on both sides. So my connections with Gare aren't what they could be, and I might or might not be able to be helpful to you. And their responsibilities toward you might be difficult to determine, though you might find that useful in an appeal.
Savardin gestured abortively, arms still tightly crossed, one elbow lifting slightly.
It doesn't sound like it's worth the trouble.
Inspector Supervisor Skyot gestured ambivalence.
You'll be fed and sheltered here in any event, citizen.
She turned to me.
And you, honored, you're here as a tourist?
Yes, I smiled, looking, I hoped, very much like a tourist from the Gerentate.
You're a very long way from home.
Inspector Supervisor Skyot smiled politely, as though the observation were an idle one.
I've been traveling a long time.
Of course she, and by implication others, were curious about me. I had arrived in company with Savardin. Most of the people here wouldn't know her name, but those who did would be attracted by the staggering unlikelihood of her having been found after 1,000 years, and the connection to an event as notorious as Garsid.
Still smiling pleasantly, Inspector Supervisor Skyot asked, Looking for something? Avoiding something? Just like to travel?
I made a gesture of ambiguity. I suppose I like to travel. Inspector Supervisor Skyot's eyes narrowed slightly at my tone of voice, muscles tensing just perceptibly around her mouth. She thought, it seemed, that I was hiding something, and she was interested now, and more curious than before. For an instant, I wondered why I'd answered the way I had, and realized that Inspector Supervisor Skyot's being here was incredibly dangerous to me. Not because she might recognize me, but because I recognized her. Because she was alive, and Lieutenant Onn wasn't. Because every one of her standing had failed Lieutenant Onn. I had failed Lieutenant Onn, and no doubt if then Lieutenant Skyot had been put to the test, she would have failed as well. Lieutenant Onn herself had known this. I was in danger of my emotions affecting my behavior. They already had. They always did. But I had never been confronted with Skyot Auer until now. My response is ambiguous, I know, I said, making that placatory gesture Inspector Supervisor Skyot had already used. I've never questioned my desire to travel. When I was a baby, my grandmother said she could tell from the way I took my first steps that I was born to go places. She kept on saying it. I suppose I've just always believed it. Inspector Supervisor Skyot gestured acknowledgement.
It would be a shame to disappoint your grandmother, in any event. Your Radchai is very good.
My grandmother always said I'd better study languages. Inspector Supervisor Skyot laughed. Almost as I remembered her from Oars, but still that trace of gravity.
Forgive me, honored, but do you have gloves?
I meant to buy some before we boarded, but I decided to wait and buy the right sort. I hoped I'd be forgiven my bare hands on arrival, since I'm an uncivilized foreigner.
An argument could be made for either approach,
Inspector Supervisor Skyot said, still smiling. A shade more relaxed than moments before.